Welcome to the big show.
He could go all the way.
The North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
The Presbyterian Church has said that they accept homosexuals to be part of their clergy.
Are you serious?
And then along comes Joseph Smith. He is called the founder of the religion.
I suppose it would be all right to say that.
And then he found some tablets. Every teacher should be dedicated, and I'm of the belief that no teacher should get credit for saying, well, I'm dedicated. Well, good. That's the floor. Mm-hmm. That's the expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, now what are you going to do on top of that? That's the foundation.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Welcome to the show this Friday, December 16th. And I was a sportscaster in my youth, and there was an old saying that it's not easy to be a city sportscaster because everybody thinks they could do a better job. It's like being the mayor of a city. Everybody thinks they could do a better job, and I have a feeling that when it pertains to a minister, the same kind of theme applies. Sometimes we'll look up there and say, "I could give a better sermon than that. I could do better than that. I could pick out better songs than that." And I don't think it's that easy. Although I know myself, sometimes I'll watch somebody give a sermon. And I'll say, you know, I think I could probably give a good sermon. And I always like to challenge myself. It's like, it's just kind of one of those guilty pleasure ideas that I would love to be able to go up and give a sermon and be able to do something like that. But I think deep down, I know that you need the study and the training to do it. And that's what we've been talking about yesterday and today. I'm speaking with two people. First, the Reverend Donald Jordan. You know him. He's been on the show before. He is the minister at the Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church over on Hawthorne. And also a special guest, the Reverend Neil E. Ray. He's an admission counselor. He is on the lookout for men, young men or men who want to change their careers to become Lutheran ministers in the Missouri Synod. They have two theological seminaries, one in St. Louis, Missouri, the other in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I welcome both to the show. Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Glad you could be back again for another day. So you're on a mission right now to find about 200 seminarians because we believe that the Lutheran Church is going to run out of enough qualified ordained ministers to take over all of the Lutheran Missouri Synod churches in the United States. That's the concern right now.
That is the concern, yes.
What happens if you don't find enough? What would happen? Do the churches close?
I don't think the churches would close. I think we'd see more dual parish situations where you would have a pastor take on a couple of churches in a role like that. We call that a dual parish situation where he may be taking on a couple of churches that are in two locales that aren't too far apart to preach word and sacrament ministry at a couple of different locations.
So while you're on the lookout, scouring the country for more qualified candidates, I'm asking myself, here's an idea. Why not, if people aren't going to go to your seminaries, why not bring the seminaries to the people? Is there a chance, for example, I'm familiar with a few Lutheran churches, the one, for example, colleges, the one in Thousand Oaks, for example. What about turning that or a branch and creating schools maybe in California or different parts of the country, Florida or New York, so that the travel, the expense wouldn't be so excruciating for people to have to go to either St. Louis or Indiana just to become a Lutheran pastor. Has that ever been discussed?
That has been discussed. Part of the formation for becoming a pastor, though, I think is part of that community, being in residence at the seminary, where you're with the rest of these students and the faculty in residence, not only learning in the classroom, not only practicing it in the chapel, but also living it as you live in community with these guys through your seminary life. There's definitely something in that formation process to being on campus, to being in a resident situation.
But if I could be so bold as to suggest, speaking with Reverend Neil E. Ray, he is an admissions counselor for the Lutheran Seminary, one in St. Louis and one in Fort Wayne, Indiana. If we're not able to fill that seminary up, those two seminaries, what's the alternative? Don't we have to say, okay, because we can't get everybody to come into one place, maybe we do need to expand and do this online. Is there any possibility of doing something like that?
We're doing a few programs like that right now. The St. Mm-hmm. Louis Seminary is working with Concordia University Irvine in doing some long distance online training. Mm-hmm. So there is a little bit of that going on right now.
But the importance of all of the men being together in that seminary on that campus, I mean, that's important.
That is very important, is in part of the whole formation process.
What is being done in seminary? I want to let people know that to become a pastor in the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, you need a four-year college degree, a BA or a BS degree, and then you need to get accepted. It's somewhat expensive, about $30,000 a year, tuition, room, and board, all expenses, but that's for 3 years, and then the fourth year, you're sort of an intern and where you get a paid stipend. So it's basically 3 years, 4 years of real hard study, and then you're placed somewhere in the United States, and you have some ability to hopefully make a request as to where you would like to live. Is that somewhat accurate?
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
So what happens in theology school? You go to the seminary. It's your first day. I'll bring in Pastor Jordan here. Your first day. You were 22 years old.
22 years old. Walked in there, and I felt like Martin Luther walking into a monastery.
Uh-huh.
These big towers, this quad area, this big chapel. It was very awesome. It was very beautiful. It was kind of a holy thing in that sense, but you're very humbled. You immediately get to meet other students from all over the country, which is an amazing thing. I developed a good friendship with a young man from Long Beach, for example. We had a kinship from Southern California. Uh-huh. Met people from all over the United States. You get to know the professors. Then you embark on this. You start attending classes. You study historical theology, exegetical theology, which is interpretation of the scriptures. You study practical theology. You learn homiletics, how to preach. You learn how to lead a service. You learn your doctrinal theology. Lots of reading, lots of homework, lots of testing, and then you have your daily chapels, which I think are the highlight of it. The singing, the preaching, you're really learning from that whole chapel experience.
And you have to learn to speak Greek too, don't you?
You have to learn Greek, not necessarily
part.
To speak it, but you have to be able to read and interpret the scriptures in the original languages of Hebrew and Greek, which is a challenge. It's difficult. There was a lot of reading. You had to learn Latin terms. You have to be quite a student. You have to be a good reader. You have to have good comprehension. In the homiletics, the preaching classes, that always puts you on the spot. You had mentioned wanting to be a preacher. People think, mm-hmm. Well, it's easy to just get in a pulpit. I can do a better job than that.
Right.
But you get up there and the butterflies start to hit your stomach a little bit, and you're being critiqued by these professors, and they show no mercy. They take your sermon manuscript and they just hack it to death.
Right.
And they use a red pen, and they look at the grammar, they look at the illiteracies, and it's rigorous, but that's good. To be tested is a very important thing, and I was really grateful and am grateful for my seminary experience.
Okay, I'm excited about finishing this discussion. We have two more segments to talk to the two Lutheran ministers here. If you're interested in becoming a Lutheran minister to join the seminary, give Reverend Neil a call, 260-452-0979, 260-452-0979. We'll continue our discussion when we come back. If you're ever in need of a dentist, let me tell you who my family and I go to. Dr. Eric Eltzroth knows his stuff. His dental hygienists give thorough cleanings. I love this. It's not just 45 minutes, but a full hour. And I love how they know my insurance benefits better than I do, so I maximize my health benefits. When you need dental work or just your six-month cleaning, you can trust Dr. Eric Eltzroth at 895-1999. Dr. Eltzroth's office is at the corner of Eaton and the Esplanade. Dr. Eric Eltzroth, 895-1999. He'll give you something to smile about. Jerry O'Lennon here for ABC Books. If you're looking to save money and get quality new and used books, try ABC Books in Chico. They're at the corner of East and Cohasset near Walgreens. Stop in and say hi to their friendly staff. They can show you how you can save 50 to 90% off new and used books. You never know what hidden gems you may find. Call ABC Books today at 893-4342. That's 893-4342. ABC Books, where saving money is as easy as ABC.
This is Live Local Talk.
My Lutheran pastor at the Missouri Synod Church in Pomona, I don't think the church exists anymore. It was in Pomona, California. He was Pastor Troms. and he never had to deal with questions like these. Is homosexuality a sin? Is abortion okay? What about gay marriage? What about pot for medical marijuana purposes? Is that okay? What about assisted dying? Is that okay? I mean, he didn't have to. These questions were just given. Now we live in a different culture. And now those who are studying to become ministers, whether they're Lutheran ministers or Catholic fathers or what have you, these questions come up. I'm speaking with two people from the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. One is the Reverend Donald Jordan. He's the pastor at the Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church over on Hawthorne. And I'm speaking to the Reverend Neil E. Ray, who is an admissions counselor with Concordia Theological Seminary. He is in the North State looking for young men to join the Lutheran Church to become a minister, to be a student at the Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. There's another one in St. Louis, Missouri. Let's go to, first of all, Reverend Ray, what I just said a few seconds ago about the cultural issues that we face nowadays, where ministers, when I was growing up, never had to deal with those kinds of things. Are those type of discussions have to be discussed now in theological schools?
Yes, quite a bit. In fact, at Fort Wayne, we have the practical department. We have four departments there. In the practical department, we deal a lot with these issues, ethical, moral issues that we talk quite a bit about in our classes.
Isn't some of it the ability to have a back and forth debate with somebody? Because nowadays, it seems like when I was younger, of course, maybe it's because I was young, maybe it happened, but it seemed like people were not quite as aggressive in terms of their viewpoints. Nowadays, people don't always hold a minister or people that you should have respect, and they'll challenge you, mm-hmm. whereas that didn't happen earlier. Is there a certain have the ability to be able to answer the tough questions that needs to be taught in seminaries nowadays?
We see a lot in that in the classrooms. Our curriculum has changed recently in the last 3 or 4 years, where we're looking, instead of pure lectures from the professors and then a regurgitation back from the students in exams, where there's a lot of dialoguing going on in the classroom between the professors and the students, because that's what you're going to be doing in the parish. You're going to be dialoguing with your parishioners in Bible study. They're going to have the tough questions, and you're going to need to, off the cuff, be able to answer those. So we're looking at that as part of the classroom curriculum and how we deal with training the students at the seminary.
And Pastor Jordan, I know that we've talked about this before. You could know everything in the world. You could know the Bible inside out, backwards and forwards, and know all of the issues. But if people aren't listening and you're not communicating well, it doesn't really mean a darn thing, does it? You have to have the ability. I mean, that was what was great about Christ's ministry. My guess is he was a tremendous speaker. Very dynamic. I think he was a much more of a type A personality than we ever realized, although he was the perfect man. But he had the ability, I would imagine, to move people, to inspire people to want to follow him. I mean, that's also part of it, isn't it, in terms of being a good minister?
Right. In fact, they were so astounded that he spoke with authority. That's mm-hmm. what they always said of Jesus. He speaks with authority. So in the same way, these men who represent Christ need to speak with biblical authority. We need to stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." This is what the Word of God says. And that takes a certain amount of toughness, shall we say. And I've always described this to our Bible class at Redeemer, to some of our folks, and maybe it's a good illustration of what a pastor is really like. He's kind of like a pit bull in some ways. He's like a watchdog, and he has to have a certain toughness, I would say, to withstand the devil, the world, and his own flesh, but he can't trust in himself. But that strength, that fortitude needs to come from the Word of God. And you can discern very quickly whether a pastor has conviction or not. You'll discern very quickly mm-hmm. whether he actually believes this or not when he preaches and teaches from the pulpit. And in the Bible class, the laymen are very discerning in the church, Jerry. You cannot fool them. We have some laymen at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, and they can see right through a pastor. So he has to be tough, but at the same time, he's like a little foo-foo lap dog, like a little poodle, a lap dog, in the sense that a pastor has to be extremely sensitive, caring, loving, and have that heart of Christ, just like Jesus was. He could be both of those things, because you are dealing with people who are hurting in their lives. They've lost their loved ones. They've lost their jobs. Their family is in shambles. They face these moral, ethical decisions. And a pastor deals with very, very intense situations, ranging from the birth to the death. You know, he'll be baptizing one day, and then he'll be presiding at a funeral the next day, which is very intense emotionally and so on. So you have to have that ability to adapt yourself to that given situation, all the while remaining firm on the Word of God, taking it, listening to your people, talking to them, dialoguing, and having this care and sensitivity. And I don't want to sound like a wishy-washy, feel-good kind of thing, because it's not that, but it's really a love of the truth. In fact, in Ephesians 4, it says that God's gifts were pastors and teachers, and they're really both. They're pastors, they're shepherds, they care for the souls, but they're teachers also. And that's why in Timothy and Titus, in the epistles in the New Testament, one of the requisites is that a pastor has to be an outstanding teacher. And I've learned that over the years as well, and I'm grateful for this opportunity even to come on this station today and talk to your audience and do some instruction, do some teaching. That's a valuable thing.
How do you inspire people to become good ministers, to want to become a minister? I mean, that's very inspirational there, what Pastor Jordan was saying, but I think of Jesus always, and I always think in terms of, and I had this discussion when we first started the show, do you view Jesus as a type A or a type B personality? And of course, the answer is he was the perfect blend of both. He was the perfect man. He could be strong and powerful and a leader and wouldn't take guff from anybody, but he was also very soft and tender. And I sometimes wonder what kind of tools are needed. We'll continue that discussion. We'll continue. Gosh, it goes so quick. We only got one more segment. We could do it 2 hours on this. But we're talking with the Reverend Neil E. Ray. He's the admission counselor for the Concordia Theological Seminary. If you're interested in learning about a career in the Lutheran ministry, 260-452-0979. Wish this show was an hour. We'll be right back.
Fairchild Automotive, specializing in Hondas, and now, pleased to announce, specializing in European vehicles. Don't just trust anyone. When it's time for your next service or maintenance, remember Fairchild Automotive. They're the number one smog and repair facility in Chico, with over 30 years of experience. They are ASE certified and AAA approved. Fairchild Automotive is located between Fair and Park Avenue, right off East 20th Street on Pavis Court. You can trust Fairchild Automotive, where they're affordable, friendly, and reliable.
Welcome to the North Valley's own Jerry O'Lennon.
Ask yourself, what kind of example are you setting for others?
With all due respect, sir, I believe this is going to be our finest hour.
On KKXX Life Radio, this is Live Local Talk.
Winding up a two-day discussion with the Reverend Neil E. Ray, admission counselor for the Concordia Theological Seminary. He is out on a mission of his own, looking for young, middle-aged, even older men like myself, who might want to begin a career in ministry to become a Lutheran pastor. 4-year degree is necessary before entering the seminary. 3 years, about $30,000 per year in St. Louis or in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is where the schools are located. Then there's a 1-year paid internship, and then you are placed with a Lutheran church. If you're, this career sounds interesting to you, 260-452-0979. And Reverend Neil E. Ray is again, scouring our North Valley, looking to talk to people who might be interested in this. And also joining us is the Reverend Donald Jordan, the pastor at Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church here in Chico on Hawthorne Avenue. If you're interested in learning more about his ministry, give him a call at 342-6085. We've been talking about the guys. This is for men. And sometimes people go, well, what about the ladies? I know that in the ELCA church, we have a church, Faith Lutheran Church, which has a female minister, and they're far more liberal progressive when it pertains to certain beliefs. So there's a divide there. But let's get back to the women. Is there a place for women in this type of seminary?
We have a program called the Deaconess Program. That is a 3-year Master of Arts program for ladies to teach them to be deaconess, which is a very historical position in the church. We find that in Scripture that places the ladies into the church to teach Bible studies for women, social ministry aspects, various aspects throughout the church that are very important.
So would it be... How many years is necessary to be part of the deaconess program?
That is a 2-year education requirement plus 1 year of an internship as well. So the 3 years total.
So you would need a 4-year degree.
Yes.
And then go to the seminary school there or in the same place?
We train them at the seminary, yes.
So is there any kind of commingling between the two where the men and women are in the same classes?
We do have a lot of the counseling classes, liturgics classes, a lot of the historical classes we take together. Okay. They obviously have some of their own, and we have some of our own. They don't take the homiletics, the preaching classes, but there is a lot of classes that are joined.
Interesting. Is there a need for that in the Lutheran Church?
Very much so, and it's becoming more and more of a need, I think, as we talk about culture and the needs within the community. We see more of a need for this within our parishes.
Is there a chance that if the Lutheran Church is unable to find enough men to become ministers, that they might, the Missouri Synod anyway, might go the way of the ELCA and say, we are going to allow women to be ordained ministers? What do you think, Pastor Jordan?
We stand on the Holy Scriptures, the office of Christ that was ordained for qualified men only, and I can only speak for the Scriptures. I don't know what the future holds, but obviously our confession is that this office is only for qualified males according to the Holy Scriptures. That could change someday. I don't believe that would be a correct move. I think it would go against the Bible, but it could happen, and then we'd have to face that and deal with that. I pray, God, it would not come to that, that we would not invoke desperate measures and saying, well, a woman in the pulpit is better than nobody in the pulpit. I think then if we got to that situation, you would take a qualified layman, an elder, a deacon in your congregation, right, and put him into that office, because I think that when you go that route, number one, you're violating Scripture, but you open this landslide, the snowball effect that will water down all the rest of your theology, too. So it would not be a good thing. I think there's other ways to deal with emergency measures where you truly need a pastor in the case of an emergency.
You think that might turn off some people, though? Because what you're saying, I understand the rationale behind it because it's scripturally based, but there are going to be those who say, wait a minute. What does Pastor Jordan have against women? I mean, that, you know, that's what people are going to be thinking. How do you answer that?
There are many arguments and criticisms leveled at not just me, but any church, the Roman Catholic Church, the Eastern Orthodox Church, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, the Wisconsin Synod, Lutherans, all the big historic mainline churches, really. This idea of women in the ministry is really a novelty in a sense. It never occurred within Christendom. It actually came from pagan cultures, pagan religions, and so on. And again, you just have to go back to the Word of God. This is how God has ordained it. By the way, I don't believe that every man is qualified to be a pastor. Mm-hmm. If you go to 1 Timothy 2, 3, Titus 1, there are certain men that are disqualified from the ministry. In fact, I could disqualify myself if I don't hold to the biblical standards, and I could be defrocked.
Now, let's talk briefly about that. There's been a lot of controversy within churches and certain standards, and certainly with the pedophilia issue involving the Catholic Church. Has there been any kind of concerns that the Lutheran Church has had beginning in the seminary with tackling that issue? Has those questions ever arise?
The issues are talked about in our current conventions, seminars, and things of this nature. It's a new phenomenon. It was not talked a lot in the seminary when I started attending in 1979. It really wasn't dealt with a lot. And I'll tell you where you get this from is your insurance carriers now, Church Mutual and people like this. When you go to renew your policy, they want to make sure that you cover the sexual abuse with your church council, with your elders, with your board of youth, and so on. And it is being talked about more. Certain states actually require a background investigation before you call a pastor to serve there. You have to run a criminal background investigation, which is a very wise thing, just to see if he has a criminal record. Because we've kind of shot ourselves in the foot on this. We've allowed this repetition of the abuse. So it is being dealt with. I think pastors are being wise in this and the training, and certainly it's an issue to look at.
You know, Reverend Ray, Pastor Jordan mentioned something that is interesting to me. It seems to me that the need for a good businessman, that a minister, a Lutheran minister, any minister, needs to be a good businessman, keeping it in the black, making sure that the bills are paid. Is that a part of the seminary, or is that just something that is learned on the job?
That's learned on the job. That's not taught in the seminary, unfortunately. Uh-huh. It'd be great if there were a few business classes taught at the seminary, but that is not part of the theological training.
I would
get that on the fly.
I would think an ideal candidate for someone that would want
to join the seminary, somebody who obviously, most importantly, is a lover of God and believes in the Scripture and believes in Christ and loves Christ, but maybe somebody who's been around the block, not too many times, but around just enough to understand how the real world works, who might have a bit of business knowledge, maybe some business experience, but and is called to God to serve, and has maybe some money that could pay for the seminary. I'm just trying to craft the perfect candidate for someone to be part of the Concordia Theological Seminary, and it sounds like this maybe fit you.
Yes, and a few of my classmates as well. Had one friend who retired as a Detroit police officer, so he had a pension there, so that helped him to be able to come to the seminary. Certainly, 20 years on the force in Detroit, gave him some knowledge around the block. He had been around the block once or twice.
Yeah, I was just going to say, a lot of pastors really don't have good administrative business skills because we learn theology and learn that on the job. But those things really help if you can take some of your background and apply some good business sense to the church.
I have really enjoyed this discussion. Neil E. Ray, thank you for being on the show.
My pleasure.
260-452-0979 if you have more questions about joining the seminary and enrolling. And also if you're interested in the ministry of Pastor Jordan, the Redeemer Evangelical Lutheran Church, give him a call, 342-6085. Out of time. It goes quick when we're having a good time and when it's interesting. Thanks for listening. So long. Have a good weekend, everybody. Talk to you on Monday.